few things packed.
Monica, one just said we have to.
You did?
Okay.
It's just crazy.
A different configuration. Everybody's gonna know, so it's just like Thomas Fire again.
Yeah.
Are we ready? Heather, sorry. We are, okay. Well, welcome everybody. Welcome and to the regular meeting of the Historic Preservation Committee for January 9th, 2025. May we have the roll call, please.
Member Euler?
Here.
Member Houston?
Here.
Member Thomas?
Here.
Vice Chair Stratton?
Here.
Chair Soriano?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Now is the time for public communications. Do we have any communication from the public about any item that is not on the agenda tonight?
I don't have any general public comment.
Okay, we'll move on to consent item number one. It's the approval of the meeting minutes from December 12th, 2024.
I have one comment. Under committee communication, we have a redundancy in the word conference on the third line.
Okay, I will delete that out.
Anything else? Can I get a motion to approve the minutes?
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes as amended.
I second it.
May we have a roll call, please?
Sorry. Yes, it's okay. Member Euler?
Yes.
Member Houston?
Yes.
Member Thomas?
I wasn't present, so I'll refrain.
Okay, abstain. And Vice Chair Stratton?
Yes.
And Chair Soriano?
Yes.
Motion carries.
The next item on the agenda is Project 240695, the Ventura Savings and Loan Historic Landmark Designation. And I believe we have a staff report.
You have to go back to that.
Just one moment.
Okay. That's loud. No problem.
Good evening, my name is Kira Pasqua, and I'm an associate planner in the Community Development Department, and the item before you tonight is a request for a historic landmark designation. The property is on a 15,000 square foot office building named Ventura Savings and Loan on a 2-acre site requested by the owner located at 250 Mills Road in the limited commercial and intermediate commercial zoning with a land use designation of commerce. Next slide. Ventura Savings and Loans building is located on a portion of a 2-acre site within the college community on the east side of South Mills Road. The Ventura Savings and Loan building was designed by the renowned architect William L. Pereira and his chief designer Jin D. Wong, which was completed July 1964. Currently, there are no potential landmarks or landmarks within this vicinity. William L. Pereira was a pioneer for post-war Southern California corporate modern architecture. Born in Chicago and educated at University of Illinois, Pereira began his career with notable projects such as the 1933 College World Fair Master Plan before moving to Los Angeles in 1938. Pereira's work in Ventura showcased his mastery of brutalist and modernist design. The Ventura Savings and Loan Building, elevated on a podium and made by pre-stressed and bush-hammered concrete, reflects his signature style of floating pavilions. Throughout his career, Pereira's geometric designs, such as the Transamerica Building and the UC San Diego Central Library, embodied modernism, innovation, and simplicity. His teaching at USC and architectural contributions shaped mid-20th century California, leaving a lasting legacy of enduring and distinctive designs that continue to inspire appreciation today. Jin D. Wong, FAIA, served as the chief designer of the Ventura Savings and Loan Building at 250 South Mills Road. Listed among his award-winning works in 1970 in the AIA directory. Pioneering architect, Wong overcame racial barriers to become a leader in Southern California's modernist movement. Born in China in 1922, he received his degree from Millikan University and USC before joining Pereira and Luckman in 1950. Rising to partner and president of William L. Pereira and Associates, Wong emphasized design integrity with the Ventura Savings and Loan Project, showcasing his progressive architectural vision. Honored as a modern master by the LA Conservancy, Wong's work continues to shape Ventura's architectural legacy. Next slide. Ventura Savings and Loan is an example of modernist and brutalist architecture that reflects the post-World War II growth of the financial industry in Southern California. This building earned an AIA Merit Award in 1966 and symbolized the Ventura's eastward growth. It is a two-story structure with a square plane and features a simple cubical massing and symmetrical composition highlighted by a flat cantilevered roof with a canted parapet clad in cement plaster. The building is accessed through pairs of fully glazed aluminum storefront doors located at the plaza level, which is elevated above the street and surrounded by concrete steps. Its design includes a glazed curtain wall with a bronze-colored aluminum frame and brown-tinted glass, with window openings strategically placed to create voids in the solid facade, enhancing the building's bold geometric shapes and sculptural architect typical of the brutalist architectural style. The main entrance of the Ventura Savings and Loan Building is located on puzzle level. And since it was built in 1964, there have been no interior alterations, including the removal. There have been interior alterations, including the removal of the glass window system, the addition of partitions and cubicles, and changes to the central teller kiosk finish. Additionally, some original glass panes on the lower level have been lost, and low metal fence has been added around the landscape berms at the plaza level. However, the building has retained its key character-defining features, such as the bush-hammered concrete columns, beams, guardrails, and original brutalist design elements, including cantilevered roof and glazed curtain walls. The exterior has undergone no substantial alterations, allowing it to maintain its historic integrity. Additionally, an analysis has been completed by Rincon and HRG, who both completed a historic review of this property and determined that the property is eligible to be designated as a local and state landmark. The report is attached to the packet as an attachment. Next slide. Above shows the criteria that a property must meet in order to be designated as a landmark, as required in section 24.455.120. The property meets criteria A2 to the former Ventura Savings and Loan Building, representing a pivotal moment in Ventura's history, embodying the post-World War II economic expansion that reshaped the city and the nation. Established in 1953, Ventura's first financial institution in 25 years, Ventura Savings and Loan played a critical role in making homeship ownership more accessible to the middle class, a pressed need during the time of rapid population growth and suburban development. The property meets criteria C because by the mid-1960s, the institution had outgrown its original location on Oak Street, signaling a rapid success and increased demand for home loans. The decision to commission a master architect to design its new headquarters at 250 South Mills Road underscored the institution's prominence and commitment to serving a growing community. Strategically located to support Ventura's eastward expansion, the building became a symbol of the city's transition into a modern suburban hub. The property meets criteria D due to the building being a rare exemplary local representation of brutalist style, which was popular during the mid-20th century. Its bold geometric designs features hallmark elements of the style, such as cantilevered roof, asymmetrical facade, and bush-hammered concrete textures. The innovative use of pre-stressed and post-tension concrete construction techniques highlights the architectural integrity of the era. While built, the building, elevated terrace, and sunken garden, and exposed aggregate finishes contribute to its striking presence. Today, the building stands as a reminder of Ventura's rich architectural and historic heritage, maintaining its integrity and character-defining features despite the minor alterations. It is a landmark not only for its significance in shaping the financial landscape, but also a masterpiece of mid-century modern architecture. The property meets criteria E due to the building being associated with not only one nationally revered architect, but two. The building represents the revered period of collaboration between two American Institute of Architects fellow recipients. 250 Mills Road received recognition by both architects and construction engineers. Staff has determined that the building did not meet criteria B, F, or G. In addition to evaluating the landmark, staff worked closely with HRG, utilizing the Phase 1 report they prepared for the building, and assessed the building's integrity by considering its location and setting, which recognized integrity, aesthetic feeling, and workmanship and materials. The building has remained a financial service building until recently and has remained in its current location on the same parcel. Despite minor modifications in the past, the building is recognized due to its distinctive modernist and brutalist architectural style, characterized by its simple cubical massing, flat cantilevered roof, and bush-hammered exposed aggregate concrete finishes. Its symmetrical composition, large glazed curtain walls with bronze-colored aluminum frames and brown-tinted glass further enhance the visual impact. Additionally, the elevated plaza, cantilevered balcony, and prominent guardrails contribute to a unique presence along the commercial corridor of South Mills Road, which has contributed to preserving the original setting. The exterior materials remain the same as originally constructed. As such, 250 Mills, South Mills Road building brings forth an image of the past, thereby preserving the integrity and feeling of association as the late 1960s modernist institutional building designed by renowned architects. Staff is requesting the Historic Preservation Committee adopt a resolution recommending City Council approve a historic landmark designation for the Ventura Savings and Loan Building. Thank you.
Thank you. Do any committee members have questions of staff about this project? No. I actually have a question about the landscaping. It's clearly overgrown, and I don't recall seeing anything about them addressing the landscaping. I imagine they will have to remove some of the overgrown parts or anything like, I mean, some of the trees are fairly large. Was that discussed at all?
No, that was not discussed at this time.
Okay. Thank you. Is the applicant present?
Yes.
Does the applicant have any have a presentation?
No.
No. Okay. Would you be available for questions if the committee members have questions? Okay. Does anyone have questions of the applicant? No. Okay. I do have questions about the landscaping. Do you know? I imagine they'll have to remove some trees, right?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I imagine they'll have to remove some of the overgrown trees and things like that.
As we move through the process, that's one of the things that you can request that be done as part of the process, yes.
Yeah, okay. Yes. Yeah.
So the description in the staff report and also in the 2017 Historic Resources report talked about the current conditions, and I was on HPC when this came before us in 2017, and there were a lot of alterations that were proposed, but the description doesn't just talk about what was actually done. Has the work been done since then?
Yes, the work has been done, and it is now a medical building, and is being used as a medical building, and that was all permitted and part of the process.
Can you tell us exactly what changed on the inside from that 2017 report?
I actually don't know. I'm working on this application. I was not part of the process at that time, but I'm happy to look into that for you.
That would be great, because there were several interior changes that were proposed, like a mezzanine and lighting and different things, the elevator, et cetera. So it would be interesting to know exactly what happened.
Okay, got it. I'll get the scope.
Yeah, to get it, bring it up to date.
Okay.
Thank you.
Of course.
Does anyone else have questions? Yes, go ahead.
I have a question, not for the applicant, but on the draft resolution. Criterion C and D are the same. So criteria C needs to be amended to read as follows. Hold on 1 second. Reflecting or exemplifying a particular period of the national, state, or local history should be criterion C, not what is provided in the draft resolution. Criterion D is correct.
Should you move this forward, we can include that as part of your motion to make a correction to that, to update that.
Any other questions of the applicant?
No.
Okay, thank you. Madam Clerk, are there any members of the public who would like to speak on this item?
I have one public comment. Stephen okay. Schaefer.
Right here.
Good evening, my name is Steve Schaefer, president of the San Buenaventura Conservancy, and we would like to support this landmark application, this building. Actually, could you go back to slide number 5? This building is a great example, and in that bottom corner, you'll actually see that Ventura Savings and Loan was the entry building to a much larger Pereira development, which never happened back there, which is now actually in another redevelopment again, but this was the entry gateway piece of that puzzle. So we'd like to support the nomination and also let it be known that this is a nationally registered eligible building, obviously because of its association to these architects. It's great to have some diversity in the architects coming into town as far as our landmarks and diversifying our landmarks. And also if this project had started out with a landmark application and a Mills Act, or possibly a National Register application, it would have been eligible for 25% federal tax credit on all the preservation work that was done, which was extensive, and probably credits for all of the Mills Act. So for the developers in the audience who are going to be working on projects in the future, the way to leverage your historic and preservation building is to nominate it first and then use all of those tax credits and Mills Act tax reliefs to your advantage. So, thanks.
Thank you. Does the applicant wish to provide a rebuttal or any more comments? Thank you. The committee will deliberate.
I know,
because you've seen this one before. So,
I'm highly in favor of approving it. I think what I would ask is that the 2017 HRG report be appended to the application along with a current description of the more recent alterations that were done to the building, so that if and when HPC or anybody needs to go back and look at that nomination or all of that data, that it's up to date for 2024. And I'm saying that because we have often had to go back to really old landmark designations, and the resolutions basically say one or two sentences about why the property is significant, and it doesn't help us make judgments about the alterations that are being proposed.
Right, so it'll give us a fuller picture.
Yeah.
And of the process and of the state of the building. Right. The history, really,
plus,
honestly.
Plus, all that work has already been done, so right. It's easy enough to append that.
That makes sense. Any other comments? Okay. I'm going to ask you to make a motion with that information in it, if you don't mind.
I move that the property be designated, that we recommend to City Council that the property be designated as a city landmark, that the criterion,
C.
Which one was it?
C.
C be amended as needed, and that the 2017 HPC study be appended to the application or nomination or resolution, along with a description of the alterations that have been made since 2017.
May I have a second?
I second that motion.
Thank you. May we have a roll call, please?
Sure. Member Uhlar?
Yes.
Member Houston?
Yes.
Member Thomas?
Yes.
Vice Chair Stratton?
Yes.
Chair Soriano?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. And now we're on to the item number 3, Project 240718, EP Foster Exterior Rehab, Historic Design Review for the library. Do we have a staff presentation?
Good evening, members of the HPC. My name is Grant White. I'm an associate planner here in the Community Development Department. And the case before you tonight is agenda item number 3, Project 24-0718, Historic Design Review for the E.P. Foster Library Rehabilitation Project. Next slide, please. The project site is located in downtown Ventura on the north side of East Main Street between North Chestnut Street and North First Street. The project is part of the Downtown Specific Plan, or DTSP, and is zoned T6.1, rather known as the Urban Core. There are varying one- and two-story developments surrounding the property. Local landmark number 31, the Packer Garage, which is currently occupied by the Trade Desk, is situated to the northwest of the project site and is highlighted in orange on the slide. Next slide, please. The project site contains a two-story public library building, originally constructed in 1921. On the screen are historic photos provided by the Ventura County Libraries and shows the evolution of the E.P. Foster Library. In 1958, the original library was expanded by notable master Ventura architect Harold E. Burkett and was reopened in 1959. The building is an excellent example of mid-century modern institutional architecture. Next slide, please. The Downtown Specific Plan, or DTSP, has historic design guidelines for all development on a lot containing a historic resource. Due to the property being eligible for a landmark local designation, the library is considered as a historic resource for the purposes of this proposed project. The HPC shall review and analyze the project for compliance with the historic resource design guidelines of Article 5 and the Secretary of the Interior Standards and Guidelines for the Treatment of Historic Properties. Next slide, please. The E.P. Foster has recently secured roughly $13 million in funding for the rehabilitation and modernization of the library. The proposed upgrades will feature a safe and welcoming space during extreme heat, reflecting our commitment to health, safety, and well-being of all the residents. In past years, E.P. Foster has struggled to remain open during heat waves due to lack of air conditioning, leaving vulnerable populations such as older adults and people without housing without a safe refuge. By investing in the infrastructure and accessibility of this historic building, the project aims to create a safe, sustainable, and functional space that meets the modern day needs of the community while preserving its historic legacy. At this time, the scope of work as proposed is to replace the building's existing fixed metal windows and storefront systems with new metal storefront systems and windows. At a later date, additional renovations are anticipated at the library that will come back before the HPC. Next slide, please. Overall, the project meets the intent of the DTSB's historic design guidelines. The project scope of work would not include the resizing of existing windows and storefront openings. Additionally, meeting the Secretary of Interior standards, the proposed windows and storefronts will not destroy historic materials that characterize the property. Specific items such as the metal louvers on the west elevation will be removed to facilitate the window replacement. They will then be cleaned and refurbished and then reinstalled. The scope of work will not detract from the historic resource and will not alter character-defining features of the building, matching the profile and light pattern of the existing windows. Next slide, please. That concludes staff's presentation. Staff is recommending that the Historic Preservation Committee recommend that the decision-making authority approve the historic design review. Thank you.
Thank you. Do any committee members have questions of staff?
I have one question. On page 3 of the staff report, it says that the project is to replace the building's existing windows with fixed metal windows. But if you drop down to the next paragraph, it says the project would not include the insulation of incompatible metal windows. So it seems like we have some confusion there as to the intent. Will there be metal windows or will there not be metal windows?
The replacement will be generally is to replicate and like for like and become metal windows with the replacement of the existing windows.
Okay.
Can I follow up on that? So are they replacing the entire window system, including the window frames, or just the glass?
I believe it is generally the glazing, but the applicant is here and can provide further context to that.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I too had the same kind of confusion that my two partners up here have. I really think that it's important that we get some clarification because of the terminology used or not used in terms of are we replacing like for like? Are we rehabbing and using the existing framework on the windows and repairing those things? And when they can't be repaired or rehabilitated, then we're replacing with a like for like. So I think that for my understanding, that's important before I can go really any further on whether I approve or don't approve of this project.
Yeah, I think we need more detail. I walked around the building and had some trouble sort of sussing out exactly what was going on, what was going to be happening. And more explanatory detail would be really helpful. Does anyone else have any more questions? Go ahead. Or you were leaning forward, sorry.
Sorry, no.
Is the applicant present?
Yes, the applicant is present. We have a representative from the county and from the library.
And then does the applicant have a presentation or are they available for questions?
I believe they do not have a presentation, but they're available for questions as needed.
Okay. Does anyone have questions of the applicant?
Oh, yes.
Yes, yes. Would you mind coming up to the microphone, please?
Do you want to tell us your name and?
I'm Devi Nalamala. I work at the County of Ventura Public Works.
Thank you.
So can you describe what the window project is?
I am exactly not. We are replacing the windows to make it more energy efficient, like described in the presentation. We're going to renovate the building to add HVAC, so that we can use it as a cooling center if needed, and also modernize the building So that's the purpose of the grant funding.
So Debbie, could I ask you to speak closer to the mic? This room is really difficult to hear.
So at this point, so since we're making it more energy efficient, it's going to be double pane windows, I believe. I can check with my architect. And to answer your questions earlier, like I think the frames are going to be changed also.
So the idea would be that they would be still be metal windows in the same configuration as they are
now. We're not going to change any size of the openings, and everything are going to be exactly the same.
Yeah, and instead of having operable windows, they'll all be fixed.
Yes, because I think the code requires that it cannot be operable windows if you have an HVAC running in the building, in the commercial building.
Okay, thank you. What about the entry door, which is actually an art installation?
We are trying to see if we can preserve the art. I don't have much information on like the storefront, I think the library is trying to contact Sally Weber, I believe is the artist, and find out more. I have to get back on that. I have no information on that one.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you.
Does anyone else have questions of the applicant? Okay, thank you. Do we have any members of the public that would like to speak on this item?
I have one public comment, Stephen Schaefer.
I'll start here and there. So we have historic photographs. 2016 photographs. And more historic photographs showing awning windows, front louver system. And more historic photographs.
You're welcome to sit there if that's easier for you to describe.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm not.
Okay.
I want to have a reference point. So I looked long and hard at the staff report on this online, and unfortunately, there isn't a really good way to determine from the staff report plans exactly what kind of windows are going in. There's a lot of detail as far as window specifications, but there is no historic drawing of the building and the current window configurations and the current window systems. The windows are all described as hopper windows, although half of them, as you can see in the front, are awning windows. There are hopper windows on the top. So, and it does not appear that the historic building code is being utilized at all, because if I hear correctly, that the code does not allow for operable windows in a energy-efficient building. That is true for a brand-new building, but we need to approach this. This is our best mid-century modern building. It is by our most notable and most famous architect in Ventura, Harold Burkett, and we really need to do this right. So if the window systems suddenly get changed and everything looks different, that's a huge problem. They have already been changed once, as you can see from the historic photographs, and it may be appropriate to take them back. It may be more energy efficient to take them back. It may be better to leave some operable windows and use the historic building code for those and just change out other windows. The cooling center is a wonderful idea. The HVAC system on top, which is going to be put in, is a wonderful idea. The building doesn't have AC now. So those things are all adaptable to this building. We just need to do this building right. It is one of our crown jewels in downtown. It should be a landmark. It's sort of getting looked at because there's a landmark next door, which is not the way we should be approaching it. We should be approaching it as a definite landmark. If a building next door on the other side were being modified, it would not be under review because this isn't considered a landmark. So that's how our ordinance is written. So I would also suggest that the HPC maybe move this along and make this a local landmark. That would be your doing. It won't be nominated from within the organization. So take that as will and use those as your reference. Thank you.
Thank you. Does the applicant have anything to add or Any comments? Thank you. The committee can now deliberate.
Given, I guess I'll just start.
Yeah, go ahead.
Given these historic photos and then the staff report, even though I walk by the library all the time, I hadn't noticed that the windows were appreciably different now than they were when the building was built. So it would be helpful to know when that happened. The rest of the windows look pretty much the same other than the hopper windows, at least on the front. Hopper windows being added along the bottom system. Oh, they are.
Yeah. It might just be the reflection on that one.
It's hard to tell, actually. So I guess I'm feeling like it would be helpful for the county's architect, or I'm sorry to say that the drawings that were submitted in along with the staff report didn't tell me anything because I couldn't tell what they were trying to convey as far as the design. So I think I personally need more information about previous window work that was done and what actually is going to happen, and including the front doors and the art installation.
I agree.
I agree.
We need more information.
Sorry. No,
that's go ahead. No, I'm done.
No, I agree with Member Houston. I'm not prepared to go forward, to move forward on this project, and because I don't understand necessarily the window configuration, the storefront, what the changes are to be, if they're replacement in kind. I think that it's a great project, but I don't feel that I can currently move forward based on the information that's been presented.
Yeah, I think the cooling center is necessary. I think the HVAC system is necessary. But we want to retain the historic fabric of the building and the historic look. I think some research is needed, definitely, regarding those windows. I do recall in my lifetime this being done. I'm looking at HRG reviewed, Historic Resources Group reviewed, did the 5-day review for this, and then they have the phase two recommendation. Do we want to recommend that now, that they do a phase two?
That wouldn't hurt. I sort of feel like we're getting the project in pieces because they talk about the HVAC system coming at some later time, and maybe that's because it hasn't been planned yet, and I don't want to hold things up for the county.
Could I add a tidbit of information for
yes.
the group? The county and city, this is a city-owned property that the county leases and maintains and manages. The county was able to acquire some funding to move this forward. There is some expedition to it because of that, hence why the project's being piecemealed. There was talks of trying to do everything at once, and they decided that that was going to take quite a bit more time to plan out and work out the details, hence the windows moving forward and the HVAC probably being the next piece of that. We talked about this internally, and should you want to ask for a phase two to be done, there's a couple ways of handling that. One could be that it's continued and brought back to you, or it's continued to move forward. Generally, with any sort of comments or concerns you might have, that phase two being done and then that moving forward to keep that motion moving. So those are the two options I think that should you support this moving forward would be in the capacity. I was trying to inquire about the timing on their funding for this, but that is one of the impetuses of this moving by itself, separate from the other improvements on the building.
Thank you. I do still think we need more information about how those windows are. We know they're going in the existing openings, but
considering that the building is so important in the downtown, you know, historic building inventory, that we should probably take, I think we should probably recommend a phase two, and that it should come back to us so that we can review it and then go forward. Okay. It's unfortunate that there's a timing for funding, but our responsibility as Historic Preservation Committee should be on that.
So would it be a phase two only addressing the windows so that we can at least decide on that and then they can come back later with the HVAC or whatever else they have to do?
Yeah.
Right. With the overall, it says once the additional scopes of work are determined as the overall proposed rehabilitation of the EP library, HRG recommends the applicant submit comprehensive architectural drawings for the review and approval of the HPC. So I concur with that recommendation. So.
So do I.
Okay. So a phase two?
I believe so. That's what it seems.
Okay.
You want to make the motion?
May I have a motion, please?
I'm sorry.
It's the first time for everything.
Okay. So I motion that additional project review is needed for phase two to comply with the historic preservation standards, and that information should be represented to the committee before moving forward.
Okay, and in this motion, did you want to continue this project to a date certain or a date uncertain?
I would suggest maybe we ask the applicant if they have any preference for that, because changes to architectural plans might take some time, as well as doing the phase two. I don't know how much time that might take.
So if the board needs me to update the architectural plans, like showing more information on the windows and the storefront, is that what is needed?
And get another second phase of the historic resources study.
Okay, which includes the HVAC, all that?
It would be submitted to us, so it'll be through the city, correct? They'll coordinate that through
the second phase, like historic.
Correct. As the motion's been presented right now, that phase two would have to be completed. Any corrections or clarifications made on the architectural plans, as they've discussed, would be resubmitted to staff. And like this, we would bring it back to the HPC at a future meeting. So the date of that meeting could be undetermined. We re-notice it whenever we get that information. So that would be an undetermined date. If it's a determined date, then we don't need to do quite as much noticing because we are continuing it, and so legally this is the notification. So that's really the difference.
Okay. I cannot give an exact date on when I can have the plans ready, so.
So I think in that circumstance, a date uncertain, and then once we communicate with you about that, we can go ahead and agendize it.
Yes.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
And you have a good idea of what we're looking for is specifics about what exactly they're doing with the windows. Okay. And the doors.
Okay, the storefront and the
yes.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah.
Thank you.
Is that it?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Can I get a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. And may I have a roll call when you're ready?
Member Euler?
Yes.
Member Houston?
Yes.
Member Thomas?
Yes.
Vice Chair Stratton?
Yes.
Chair Soriano?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Our next item is the citywide historic survey. And this segment was the Midtown community. And I believe we have a staff presentation.
Thank you, Chair Soriano, members of the HPC. My name is Jared Rosengren. I'm principal planner in the Community Development Department for the City of Ventura. And tonight, it's a continuation of our citywide historic survey effort that has been going on since 2019. We've been moving from the east part of the city to the west part of the city. And so tonight, we're talking about the Midtown community. This is phase two of the historic study. The first one was the first year or so, or 2 years or so, was the context statement. And then from there, we move on to actually looking at the properties and creating the inventory. So anyways, I know we have a lot of people here tonight, so I'm going to kind of give some background for what we've been doing. City staff has been working with the Historic Resources Group out of Pasadena to prepare the first ever historic survey for the whole city. In the past, we've surveyed downtown and the West Side area, and we are doing this concurrently with our general plan update, which is also underway. HRG is also a sub-consultant for that effort. And then, so one of the benefits of the survey is it's going to provide the city with the valuable information that can help guide future planning and land use decisions. The survey includes updating and expanding the historic context, inventories, and data from the previous surveys to encompass the entire city and historic periods of development up to 1979. And then two, we're identifying potential historic districts and contributors as historic landmarks and districts. We're identifying potential landmarks and identifying a general list of persons and events of significance and places, including agricultural holdings and ranches that may be of local and state importance to consider as future projects are evaluated. And so while the scope of the survey includes the entire city, as I mentioned, we've broken it up into the different communities, and we started off with Wells and Sadakoy area, and as after the Midtown community, we'll be doing the downtown community and the West Side community. So the Midtown community, although it was officially annexed into the city in 1906, the residential development of Midtown did not really begin in earnest until the 1920s, and then it continued until the end of World War II. The commercial development along the corridors of Main Street and Thompson Boulevard and Loma Vista didn't really take place until after World War II and was concentrated between the years of 1950 and 1966. Between 1921 and 1930, the subdivision tracks were laid out between the western border of Midtown to the eastern border along Mills Road. And the predominant style of architecture for the residential structures built during that period in Midtown was the Spanish Colonial Revival style. And from the onset of World War II in 1941, housing began to fill from Seaward to Mills Road, and the commercial corridors along Main and Thompson began to contain structures where the uses served for the commercial interests of the adjacent housing. And there was an emphasis on auto-related businesses with several auto courts and roadside motels lining Thompson Boulevard because it was used as Highway 101 at that time. Within the Midtown community, there are 12 existing landmarks. So HRG has identified an additional 116 potential landmarks and 5 potential historic districts. And so as we've been doing the survey, we've seen several individual properties. This is the first time we've seen the potential landmark districts, and they're all residential in nature. I provide 4 of the 5 here on this slide here: Hobson Heights, the Buenaventura Tract, which are mostly the Spanish Colonial Revivals we've talked about from the 1920s. And then you have the Island View track, which is more mid-century, and the Dalton-Brent residential track, which is more of a mix. As we've been with the other communities, we're sharing it with the HPC. We're asking for feedback or if we've missed any properties that you were expecting to see. Staff is shared with HRG a couple properties we were looking for that we didn't see. So if HPC would like to have to pose any questions to staff that we can take back to HRG, we're still collecting those, and we'll be bringing those as we're done with the communities. They're going to relook at any of the questions that came up and any of the properties that needed to get another look or take a look that weren't looked at before, and we'll bring back that to the HPC and then move on to City Council, who will then certify the survey and we will have a list of new potential landmarks. So for the people in the audience, this process doesn't designate any landmarks, doesn't designate any districts. So these are just identifying potential landmarks and potential districts. And I know I've been getting a lot of questions over the past couple weeks, and so my apologies for anyone who I wasn't able to get back to in time. As you saw, there was 116 identified properties, so there's been a lot of questions. And so but feel free to grab me after the meeting and give me your information so we can have individual conversations. There's no action being done tonight. There's no action being done within the next month. As I mentioned, we're going to the City Council. That will be the final action. So, but anyways, that concludes my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. Do any committee members have questions of staff?
I think I have one. I'm encouraged by the proposed creation of 5 additional historic districts. I think Jared alluded to it might take some time to go through the process regarding that. But do you have any thoughts about how this matter would be approached related to the historic districts? You have any thoughts on that?
I do. Historic districts are interesting because it requires all the properties within that district to want to become a district. And that's a very difficult thing to do. In 2007, we did the downtown historic survey. There was at least one potential district identified in that survey. And of course, it didn't become a district because of that kind of challenge.
Okay.
However, it's always worth, I believe, bringing up again and seeing if the interests have changed. Or I know I talked to one property owner this past week who said he had tried to organize one of these districts as a district 15 years ago. Didn't end up being successful, but you know, all it takes is one negative change that gets everyone's attention, and all of a sudden everyone's ready to go. So it's good to have it ready to go and being identified. That's my thought.
Go ahead.
So there wasn't anything in our package about those districts, like describing them or even, you know, was there contributing, non-contributing?
That's right. It did say that it was pending.
Okay.
They're still working on that. I think they just wanted to keep moving forward, make sure we had something. We're trying to do this once a month, and I think we're just trying to keep moving.
So for owner approval, is it 100% or just majority?
It's 100, isn't it? I believe it's 100%. I can I can double check that. Last time I checked, it was 100%.
Is that in an ordinance or something?
I'm sorry?
Is that in an ordinance or?
Yes, I believe it is. As we keep going, I can try to look on up that, but I believe it is. It also would go through the same process as a landmark coming to the Historic Preservation Committee for recommendation and then to City Council. And as a anecdote, there was an effort years ago for a street to become a historic district, went through Historic Preservation Committee, went through Planning Commission, but City Council decided it wasn't appropriate at that time. So we've seen it attempted before.
Thanks.
Are historic districts eligible for the Mills Act?
Not in the city of Ventura. It's up to the city individually. So if we decide to amend the Mills Act in the future, ordinance, which would be appropriate to update it every once in a while, that could be something that could be added, but at this time it is not. You have to be a designated landmark.
Okay. I do have a couple properties to add to the list, if that's... I don't have all the addresses. I, of course, wrote them down and then walked away from my desk. But I do know one is 1642 East Main. There's three. So you know where on the corner of McMillan and Main, where Pizza Chief is,
mm-hmm.
or was, there are three Spanish colonial buildings. that were not on the list, and I thought, I was just wondering why they weren't on the list. Mm-hmm. I think they're all commercial businesses right now.
Is that the dentist?
I think that one is a dentist, one is a hair salon, and then I don't remember what the other one is. That's it for me.
Do you want our comments now, or do you want to wait until after?
Anytime. You can email me individually. You can say it now. Either one.
Well, I was just wondering if we wanted to hear from the public before we blabbed. Or
okay. We can't email addresses. That's probably easier.
You can do that too, yeah.
Do we have any more questions of staff?
No.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Jared. Do we have any members of the public who would like to comment on this?
I have one public comment card from Stephen Schaefer.
Okay.
And if any other members of the public would like to speak on this item, please submit a public comment card and you can come up and speak at the podium.
Good evening, Steve Schaefer, president of the San Buenaventura Conservancy for Preservation. Again, if anybody has questions about landmarks, Mills Act, and preservation in the city of Ventura, come see me afterward. I'm as well. I can also talk about these things. On the plus side, if you have a residence and it's a potential landmark, that probably actually makes it worth more money. It does not change your assessments or your taxes. There is always worries about, oh, gosh, now that my house is historic, what happens? That's not really the way it works. The house was already historic, it's just been identified. So if you imagine your house was made of brick and the city did a survey of all the brick houses in town, what we found now is that there are these brick houses or these historic houses in town. And we have identified them, and if there are clusters of them, we look at those as historic districts. The benefits of historic districts is that if they are identified, they can create their own design guidelines. Those design guidelines can be as strict, only paint your house purple, to as loose, you have to keep the front setback, and if you do any alterations, they're in the backyard, if you want. Generally, historic districts need 50 or 51% approval, so we'll have to look into that. I didn't find it in the ordinance. But most importantly, I have a couple of additional districts I'd like to add to the public discussion here. One is the Main Street Midtown Corridor District between Seaward and Five Points. One would be the Cunane Tract District. One would be the Loma Vista Road Medical Tract Corridor. One would be the North Telegraph Mall area. Kieran's building is in that. He'll probably talk about that. That is the furniture stores and buildings on the north part of the mall. And the other is Dunning Street. Dunning Street was a district that was proposed in 1995. And because the mall wanted to buy all the houses and demolish them to expand the mall, the city council did not make it into a district for political reasons, even though it was deemed historic and significant by the HBC. So you never know what's going to happen. I would like to revisit that district. All the paperwork has already been done in 1995, and obviously the mall is not in an expansion mode anymore. So I will leave you my map of possible potential districts. This is, with a 300-page Midtown section, probably way outside the scope of what HRG expected to do. So we might have to look at districts as an expansion of that survey. They're already looking at way more buildings than they expected. But yes, we definitely support the things in the Midtown section. We will be adding some more addresses as we find them, but the districts were just big ways to grab some other areas. Thank you.
Thank you. And I did get one additional public comment card for Kieran Moss.
Thank you.
Well, I have kind of a question that you can answer or not answer, but I don't understand why on the agenda there's a list of a number of buildings and they have at the top a header that's the State of California, the Resource Agencies, Department of Parks and Recreation, Building Structure and Object Record. And I get the feeling that they haven't been adopted because they don't have a primary number is blank and HRI is blank. Are these proposed or are they actual? I don't know. But there's an error in at least one of them that's one of the most prominent buildings in town, and that's the Our Lady of the Assumption Roman Catholic Church at 3175 Telegraph. And that this write-up it's okay, and it was a Burkett building. But number one, it says incorrectly that the ceramic tile mural on the front depicts the first solemn mass celebrated at Mission San Buenaventura on August 14th, 1769. There's a couple of problems with that. There was no Mission San Buenaventura until 1782, so that's just incorrect. It also says it was August 14th, 1769, and that is incorrect because the reason it's called Our Lady of the Assumption is because August 15th is always the feast day of Our Lady of the Assumption, and it was August 15th, 1769 that mass was held. This is a little like writing that the 4th of July was on the 3rd of July one time, and it's just got to be corrected. It's very important to thousands of people who live in Ventura. That's kind of the main thing. It was designed by Mr. Burkett. Mr. Burkett was a very prominent architect. He was also the husband of Isabel Camarillo, who was Adolfo's daughter. I don't know if that's historically important or not. That's up to you. I think it had a lot to do with some of the commissions he was able to get, including Adolfo Camarillo High School, where his father-in-law donated the land. But he certainly had skills on his own, including designing the Presbyterian Church on Poli Street. And so I would appreciate it if you'd take a look at that kind of thing and explain to the public why these things are included when they're not apparently finished. They look like state documents, but they're not, these things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what they are.
They're forms.
They're forms.
They're a standardized form.
I'm sorry, to submit?
They're a standardized form.
Yeah, but have they been adopted by the state or not?
No.
Okay, good.
Okay, thank you very much. Time's up. Thank you.
If people have comments or typo corrections, can they just email city staff? Those were, you know, having another pair of eyes is good because they are public documents.
Thank you.
Thank you.
No additional public comment.
Okay, thank you. Sorry, I should pass this over. Well, we don't really have an applicant here. Nor do we need to make a motion, correct? This is just...
We've been getting a minute motion from you that, you know, just keep moving forward. We kind of like that.
Okay.
Kind of this little tidy cleanup.
Okay. Do we need to deliberate then before we make a motion?
Oh, can we just add more comments?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Definitely.
Okay. Should I start?
Yes, please.
Okay. I've got a list. So I'm looking at Schaaf's map, and I have similar comments, including Dunning Street. And I would expand the Canaan Tract over to Seaward, as you've recommended. It seems to me as though they've recognized a number of buildings, medical office buildings and the hospitals, along Loma Vista, and they're all pretty much adjacent to each other, and I think it would make sense for that to be like a medical district instead of having individual properties along there. Let's see. Oh, the Chevron station on Main Street at Catherine. It's 2099 East Main, and they cite the sign pole. I believe that the pole used to be taller and that it got shortened probably because of a sign ordinance or something.
Yeah, that was a new sign that I remember we worked on that a few years ago, but I can't remember. I believe it was more of a design review committee type of item, but yeah, you're correct. That sign is more about how it was, the auto-oriented corridor, and to the sign's important as the style and the neon and all that, but the sign has been changed, I believe.
Yeah. And looking at it now, as somebody coming in, they would probably say, yeah, that's a cool sign and it looks historic, but it is different. The other, and I think Schaaf's map shows this too, the motels, the early Route 101 motels along Main Street and some of them on Telephone too, it seems like the ones at least on Main are pretty next to each other more or less and could be a district as opposed to individual. The ones on Thompson are spread out a bit more. And that's all I have. Otherwise, I mean, I'm happy to see everything that they included.
Do we have any other comments? Okay.
I did have one comment about a cemetery park, and I'm glad that it's being nominated or recommended to be a landmark, but I think that maybe there needs to be a little, even in the form, this kind of informal, or it's kind of phase two discussion of it, we need to maybe go into more detail about the removal of headstones and how the park has changed over time. I don't think that it was covered adequately in the form. I think there was even a phrase saying that there had been no modifications. I'm trying to find it right now.
Are they organized by street name? The packets are sometimes hard to read because of the way they're organized. And this was a big packet. Sorry, everybody, just bear with us.
Did you find it?
I can send a comment.
Okay, all right. You'll send the comment? So do we want to go ahead and move forward on this? Accept it with the caveat that we will email city staff? Okay, I don't usually make the motions, but I'll just make the motion. So I move that we move forward with the historic resource surveys for the city with the caveat that we can send comments and address at comments to the city as needed.
Second.
And may I have a roll call?
I'm sorry, you guys made the motion?
Yes, we did.
Oh. Dang it. I'm so sorry about that.
That's okay.
Would you mind
maybe I have a roll? Oh, sorry. It's to move forward with the HRG surveys, the citywide surveys, with the caveat that we can send city staff addresses or additions or comments or typo corrections, things like that.
Okay, and then who made the motion?
Euler seconded. I made the motion.
Okay.
Euler seconded.
I am so sorry about
that. That's
okay. Okay. Member Euler.
Yes.
Member Houston?
Yes.
Member Thomas?
Yes.
Vice Chair Stratton?
Yes.
Chair Soriano?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
And I just want to make a public service announcement, you know, for anyone who's worried about what all this all means. You know, I mentioned nothing's being designated, but also means for properties that do go through the designation process, you, most of you have been here tonight, you saw what a project goes through. There's quite a bit more that actually happens for an actual designation. And even once you're designated, it doesn't mean everything's frozen in time. There are changes you can make to your properties. For example, it doesn't mean you can't have an ADU. It doesn't mean you can't do an addition. Those things are done slightly differently and maybe looked a little bit more closely, but there's nothing frozen in time and nothing's put in a capsule and where you can't touch it anymore. But go ahead and reach out to me if you have any further questions, but just wanted to put that out there.
Thank you. And definitely, can I add that people can reach out to the HPC committee members as well if they have questions, or Stephen Schaefer at the San Buenaventura Conservancy, and we can help find the answer if we don't know it. Thanks, everybody. We have another. I forgot we had Washington School. We have Washington School. Item number 5, Washington Elementary School, potential state landmark nomination. So this is about the letter that our ad hoc committee wrote to the state OHP on behalf of Washington School's nomination to the National Register. So how do we proceed with this? We have a staff memo. Thank you, Jared. I'll take staff's recommendation on how to proceed with this Washington School.
Okay. And we'll have to feel our way through this.
Okay.
It's a little bit unique. So basically what I was trying to do in the memo for the HPC is to go through a timeline of how we got here. But basically what has happened is the State Historical Resources Commission is currently considering the nomination of Washington School, which is located at 96 McMillan Avenue, to be placed on the National and State Registers as an historic landmark. And it was most recently continued from their November 7th hearing, to their February 7th hearing. So it's going to be heard again next month. Right before the end of last year, the state notified the city that it's providing another opportunity for the city to comment on the nomination. And so we didn't quite have enough time last time in the fall, so the HPC put together an ad hoc committee, prepared a letter, and staff sent a letter on their behalf. We had this time an opportunity to have the whole HPC give their feedback and maybe craft a letter that staff can then send on behalf of the entire HPC as opposed to just an ad hoc committee. And last month, the HPC asked us to put it on their agenda so we could have it discussed tonight, and we'll see what happens. But that's setting up the context.
Thank you.
And then on the screen is essentially what the ad hoc committee put together. You can have a starting point if that's where you would like to go and start with. And once again, I'm hand it back over to the chair for how you want to proceed.
Okay. since we've had a month to think about this, do committee members have any comments about how we want to craft this letter?
Do we need to have public comment first?
Do we need to have public comment?
You should, yes.
We do, okay. Do we have any public comments regarding the Washington School National Register landmark nomination?
Oh.
Sorry, our clerk ran down to grab business cards for Jared. So Stephen is our next commenter on this. I think that's the only one. Yes.
Thank you.
The State Historic Resources Commission gets all of the letters. They have compiled all the letters. They keep getting more letters. And the Historic Preservation Committee's letter will be actually called out as a single letter from the jurisdiction in play, that is, that the HPC finds the building is historic or finds the building is not historic. And then they will say there are, I think right now we are at 45 supporting letters. And so it would definitely be a positive thing. And the Washington School has just shown up in your Midtown survey as reviewed as historic by yet another architectural historic company. So I don't think there's any doubt. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other members of the public?
No, we've not received any other members of the public today.
Okay, thank you. Do we have any thoughts? Any committee members?
I do.
Yes.
Since I'm going talking about everything tonight. I feel like since we are a certified local government, and we're supposed to comment on these officially, I feel like we should exercise that prerogative since we have the time. And that's why I'd like to make sure that we do. And I'm fine with sending this letter, only saying that it's from the full committee and changing the SHRC meeting date to the current meeting. And maybe we should add, I don't know, I mean, I don't want to be the one to say, let's do this or that or the other thing, but if we wanted to add something about the building has been identified in a recent citywide survey as well as, so.
I agree.
That's my.
I think we had agreed to do the letter at this meeting. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I agree, but I also think that it is important that we put in about the survey that the city is doing and that HRG, you know, so their findings thus far, because it's, to me, it adds more credibility and more strength to our letter and to the nomination process. And for it, you know, rather than thinking we're just some little isolated committee that has said yes, I mean, we're actually having a professionally done citywide survey and getting support from HRG and.
I agree.
Okay.
I would concur that we acknowledge the fact that this potential landmark, Washington School, was included in the citywide survey in the Midtown and provide that as additional emphasis for its recognition and support at the February 7th meeting.
Excellent, I agree as well to add that as well. So I have a question of staff. Do we need to write that letter right now or is this something we can, do we have to write it publicly is the question.
I think if you are satisfied with the framework of the original letter that was crafted by the ad hoc committee, and the revisions that you might recommend as part of a motion, staff can craft that letter, put it on letterhead, and transmit it to a particular person on the group in the HPC who could sign that. That could be the chair. And if you so choose to just proof it for us before we send it off, that would be appropriate, provided you give us guidance as to what to craft in that letter.
Okay, thank you. Does everyone think that's okay? Can I get a motion? Looking at you two next to me.
I make a motion that the Historic Preservation Committee go with the basic outline that we currently have in this letter to send to the Historic Resources Commission and make the additional sort of discussion slash comments regarding the citywide survey that we're implementing or undertaking currently, and that it includes HRG's findings on the Washington School.
And can I get a second?
I'll second.
And may I have a roll call?
Could I ask to clarify who the person might be that we would have to sign that letter as part of your motion?
I think it should go to the, I think the chairman should sign that.
Thank you.
And was it Houston or Thomas who seconded my motion?
Thomas.
I mean the motion, not my motion.
Yes.
Okay. Member Euler?
Yes.
Member Houston?
Yes.
Member Thomas?
Yes.
Vice Chair Stratton?
Yes.
Chair Antleman?
I mean, wrong meeting.
Chair Soriano?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
Been busy. And this is the time for staff communication, but it's also the time for committee communication. I do not know which one comes first.
Committee communication.
Committee communication. Does anyone have anything? Does anyone on the committee have anything neat they want to communicate to the other members of the committee or the staff?
I have one item. At the last meeting, I was asking Jared if there was any potential for any member of the committee to attend the State Preservation Conference in Sacramento, scheduled for May 7th to 10th, whether that had, whether there was any feasibility for one of us to go and to get an idea of what's happening out there in terms of historic preservation projects, procedures, policies. I think one of us should be attending. So I just want to ask about that and whether we can receive any minor compensation.
I do believe we have a budget in place that can address different committees and groups going to different trainings and different sort of conferences. So if you guys can provide those to me and give suggestions and I can share them with the group, we can discuss what that compensation or what that would cover for those particular trainings or meetings that you might participate in. Depending on where they're located, we might be able to help fund part of it or some of it, depending on what we see. But yeah, just go ahead and send them over to me or Jared, and then either of us can go ahead and coordinate with our team to make sure that we can get that in soon enough for you. We probably usually need a week or two at least for sure to make sure that we can coordinate.
Any other communications?
Oh, there she is.
Okay, thank you. Staff, do you have any communications for the committee?
Nothing specific, but I want to give you a highlight at all of our different boards and committees and groups. We're going to start giving highlights of projects that have either recently been approved or are moving forward that you've seen before. We may be just giving you updates on projects you didn't see for your information purposes because this is a public meeting and folks are interested. So we'll go ahead and put together a little slide, maybe a presentation, depending on how complicated or how many items we have. We'll start to report those at the end of each meeting.
Well, that's great. Thank you.
And if you have any questions ahead of a meeting that you want us to provide some information, you could let us know in an email, and we could go ahead and give you a little bit of information at that time, too.
Well, that's great. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I think that's it, then. We can adjourn the meeting. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
I'm going to take a picture.
No, I think that was just a question.
That's just a question.
That little tree next to the library.
I showed it off to my mom and sister the other day.
We've got to protect it when all that construction happens. Because it's the only thing left and nobody knows it's there.
It's funny because I showed my mom and she's like a big plant nerd. She's like, why does nobody talk about it?